Welcome to Sober.Coffee, a weekly coffee chat sharing experience, strength, and hope for anyone on the sober road to recovery. You can download Sober.Coffee weekly on all podcast platforms and check us out on Instagram at Sober.Coffee Podcast and on Twitter at Sober Coffee Pod. To learn more about us and to help support these sessions, visit online at Sober.Coffee. Here are your hosts, two guys on their own path of recovery, Mike and Glenn. Let's join them at the coffee shop.
Glenn H.
Hey, what's going on, my brother?
Man, I'll tell you what, I'm over-caffeinated this morning, but super stoked. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing fantastic. You know, I got a lot of meetings throughout the week, a lot on my calendar, but the most important thing, man, is jumping in the coffee shop with you. I love it. And, you know, we normally banter. We normally come up with some stuff here as we start the shows. But we have so much good stuff going on today. I just think
we, should we read our disclaimer though?
I just think we cut out the banter and
yeah. Don't we say something very fast, like in double talk? And the opinions. Brian does that. Okay, good. Yeah. So we don't have to do that.
We don't have any disclaimers.
Awesome. So
no disclaimers, no edits. We've never edited the show.
Never.
So, and we just got off Instagram Live, and
yeah, that was like, kind of fun. That was different.
Yeah, but people are like, oh, live. What do you? I'm like. Yeah. Our shows are live anyhow, man. Uh-huh. We don't edit anything. So,
and now today we're going out on a limb because we've got like a table for, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, table for 7 at the coffee shop. This is fantastic.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I think that's the largest ever.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Congrats.
We should like so get the banquet room in the back.
I know. Totally.
Yeah. So, you know, just talking sobriety. So let me go around, introduce people to who's in the room with us today, and then we'll just barrel down and talk some sobriety, right? So you got the usual suspects, myself and Glenn, and then you got Danny G, who was around for a session with us a couple. Oh, hello.
Uh-oh.
do you need to start again, Brian? Are you good? All right, good. All right.
No, so
we got Danny G. Great. Then we've got Karen in the coffee shop.
Karen's
with
been
us.
On a bunch of episodes.
Yep.
Actually,
I love
we
the
have
coffee
a,
shop.
Actually, we have a pair of Karens.
We do.
And then we have a Lynn and a Mary. So, yeah.
So we have two Karens, Lynn, Mary.
Yes.
And we have so we have a Florida tribe, right?
Yes.
We do.
So Karen, who's in the rooms here,
yes,
lives part-time mostly in Florida.
Right.
As much as I can.
And then we have Lenny, who's, you know, from Illinois or spent a lot of time in Illinois. She's now in Florida. And then we have Karen and Mary from Florida.
Right. And Lynn also spends time in California, so... Which wow. I love Lynn. So Lynn and I have a long history. We came in pretty close to the same time, and I just remember how broken she was, like how broken I was. We were two broken souls trying to kind of get the sobriety thing
swimming
figured
in out. A fishbowl.
Swimming in a fishbowl. Hey, that's
that
year
sounds
after
like
year.
A song.
Yeah, right. But have come to love Lynn and just watch her grow. And she says something. She goes, "I get to go see my grandkids." And I just love that line because it reminds me we get to do these kind of things now.
You know what else she says?
What'd she say?
Not today, Satan.
Not today, Satan.
Not today, Satan.
I love it. So how did you guys create a tribe? Tell us a little bit about your tribe mentality there.
Okay, so I go to an in-person meeting here in Florida, and I've met the two girls that are on here with me now. And we have a pretty large group here, and I kind of picked a few of the ladies out that like I felt I could connect with, and we've just been becoming better and better friends on a weekly basis. So it's awesome.
How big is the group, Lynn, that you three come from or four come from down there? How big is the root group?
About well, we typically have anywhere from 15 to 30, maybe 35 people at a time, 40 maybe.
Wow, that's big. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's at 7 a.m. in the morning.
Okay, that's when the serious recovery people are,
exactly.
are out. And that's right. It's
that's
like,
no joke.
It's like move over rookies.
Time.
It's move over yeah. rookies. The serious folks are here now.
Danny G's that's ready for right. lunch at 7 a.m.
Yeah, right.
Every single day, this group, a lot of come every single day, Monday through Sunday.
Yeah, you know, Mary, that's so funny because 7 o'clock in the morning is my favorite meeting time. That's when I was guzzling a bottle, for Pete's sake. And what a different perspective now with meeting with a bunch of other recovering alcoholics at 7. Great way to start the day. Great way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Karen, how often do you get down? Karen, Chicago Karen, how often do you get down to Florida?
Well, Well, my general rule of thumb is that
weekly
from return home to return back to Florida can never be more than, let's say, 3 weeks.
Okay.
And that's don't come home until my next trip is booked.
Okay. There
so
you
I
go.
Always know when my next trip is. Right. So then when Lynn moved to Florida, we were friends here and she moved to Florida. And then we bought a little place in Florida. And then Lynn took me to this meeting and she kept talking about these girls.
Mm-hmm.
And then she took me to the meeting and I knew instantly what she was talking about, because then I became friends with these gals and they're great. So now when I go down, I try to get to a meeting with them, or we go to dinner. We've been to ball games and have dinner. Well, they have a really cool Wednesday hookup. Not hookup in that regard.
Yeah, right. Yeah, watch
meet, they change
get
houses.
Get my ticket now.
Every week they meet up at a different house and do dinner and just, you know, just shoot the bull and
sober meet
just connect. It's really nice. So I'm not there Wednesdays often, which kind of stinks, but
that's kind of nice, though. You're taking it to that next level. You're going kind of into homes and that.
Yeah. These girls take really good care of each other.
Man, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Which is a common theme in AA.
Well, yeah. I think it's important, especially, that women have women that they can go to. Right. I mean, I love going to meetings with men, but I recover with the women.
Hmm.
You know, there's things that I won't talk about in a mixed meeting that, of course, I'll take to my girlfriends and I can talk to them about.
Right.
I think it's really, as women, we have different issues. We have different guilts. We're, you know, moms feel different guilt than dads feel.
Right.
And I think as women, it's important that we have other women who get us, who understand what we're feeling.
You know, it's funny you say that. When I'm in a meeting and a newcomer comes in and she's a young female, I like feel bad because I'm like, this isn't AA, you know, it's me and eight other guys sitting in a room. And I'm like, I want to jump out of my chair and go, wait a minute, there's a whole other side to AA you got to get plugged into, you know?
I immediately give him Karen's number.
Yeah, right, right.
Well, because, I mean, it's funny, when we started Sober Dot Coffee, my wife said, she goes, hey, you know, she listened to one episode. She goes, you and Mike are okay, but where's the women?
Yeah, right. Where's the software talk?
Right, so I said, better call Karen.
She's so smart, Karen. That job.
Yeah, right.
I know
right.
She is. Call Karen.
So Karen in Florida, tell me what's so special that's going on down there? What's the secret sauce in your meeting down there, or your relationships outside the meetings with these gals?
For me, well, I've never had a problem like talking with women since I came in. I've been around a long time, and I was hardcore. I'm one of those people that didn't get it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And my sponsors over the years were women. And a lot of times I didn't trust them, even though I never had a problem with women, you know, per se. But this is a special kind of connection we have down here. Like, I don't get to as many meetings in the morning as they do because I work at Wawa, which is early.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my 7 o'clock is serving coffee, not drinking it at a meeting. And so it's nice to know that when I don't go, they actually are concerned about me. They worry about me when I, you know, have my knee done. They would come check on me. It's just like a whole, like, the group that I was a big part of in Philly was very clicky.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And we didn't have a whole lot of people at the 7 a.m. Down here, it's a little different. This is a hardcore meeting with people that really want to be there.
Right.
You know what I mean?
She just described a family.
Yeah, you did just describe
that's what
a family.
Family does for each other.
That's what. Yeah, and because I don't get there all the time, sometimes I miss out on things, but then they always fill me in when we get together at our once a week kind of thing. But like I said, I've never had a problem with women, but I was just up in North Carolina talking about meetings. I was up there and I went to three different meetings. Two of them were all men that I walked in on.
Mm.
And they weren't men's meetings.
Right.
But like you were saying, like a lot of times, a lot of, you know, young women, I remember coming around, I came around in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And there weren't a whole lot of us coming to the meetings back then.
No.
Like up in Philly, at least. And and like I said, I was hardcore. I've been away in places multiple times. So my story is a little different than other people's.
What?
But with these ladies, we're all on the same page no matter how long you have.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean, hun? So it's a good tight group, and they make me feel special because I'm a little insecure sometimes.
I'm a lot insecure sometimes.
And you are special.
Yeah.
Thank you. But I don't know where it comes from. Like I was raised
great. I was never told by my parents or anything. Mm. And I didn't start drinking until I was 18.
Wow.
So I started a little bit later than a lot of people did. But once I got started, you know what the rest of the story is.
Right.
So I'm just grateful I found these women down here. You know, because I met Lynn in the we both moved down about 3 years ago. And she was there in the beginning. And I met her. And then she disappeared because I guess she went to California.
California, right.
And then all of a sudden she came back and we reconnected and it was great. And I have to say, a lot of the women in our morning meeting, I would go to quite a few of them with problems. And they're the kind of people that will do whatever they can to help you.
Right.
Now, the people that I work with say the same thing. You know, if you need anything, call me. But, you know, they're not sincere.
Right.
You know, and this is a different kind of connection. And they've accepted me knowing that I was away so many times. We kind of make a joke of it now, but only because now I can joke about it.
Right.
It's definitely no joke. And thank you for having me here today. This is great.
Oh, yeah. No, we appreciate having you here. And you know, I guess what I'm hoping for is those, because we had a lot of sober curious that are on the fence that listen to this.
Sober
and
curious.
I just want them to know that there's a safe haven they can go to, right? And, you know, the young ladies that and it's got to be such a struggle these days. I mean, first of all, I'll just talk about the drug itself. I mean, in a quest to get high, they could die, right? All they want to do is get a little high. And death is knocking at the door of getting high with this fentanyl and all this. So, first of all, the world has changed. But secondly, I think AA has changed where there's opportunity for them to come in and heal that isn't with a bunch of stodgy old men. Do you kind of get that same feel, Mary?
Oh, I do. And I think what's interesting is when I first stepped in the door and committed myself, if you will, I thought, well, I have my AA friends and they're over here. And of course I have the rest of the world and, you know, I tuck them over there. And it's been really amazing as I've gotten to know these women in our group, and that really it's transitioned to where this is my core group of people whom I want to be with, I want to have around. Now, when you first step in, you're like, oh, no, I don't want anyone to know. You know, I'm going to keep this over here and this over here. And then it transitions to, wow. I don't want to say I was ever ashamed. It's just keep that in the closet, you know. Mm-hmm. But now it's like, these are my peeps. This is my squad. And the beautiful thing, and I hope this can touch on people too. I mean, I have a child that's going through stuff, and these women who's in rehab right now, and his transcript and all that, and I can talk to them about that, and they get it, and they can support. So it's sort of like there's all these different layers to these relationships that's invaluable, and it's really becoming sort of the core of my life versus just a little tucked away corner. You know, where I go now and then. So
right.
It's easier.
I hope that answered the question.
Yeah, it sure did.
Do you find it's easier when it's now the core instead of the corner?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Life is easier when I have all these beautiful women that have experienced the things I have that I can go to, you know. And if I came in and just sat in the corner and, you know, did like so many newcomers, and I'm not going to let you get to know me, and I'm just going to listen and leave, you know, come 5 minutes late, leave 5 minutes early, so that I don't have to talk to anybody. What a different life I would have, you know. But now we have, you know, girl power is stronger than anything I've ever known. You know,
I'm jealous of girl power.
Well, coming into the program has taught me what girl power really is. You know, there's nothing I can't call these women for that they won't be there. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing they can't ask me for that I wouldn't do for them, so long as, of course, it doesn't jeopardize my own sobriety.
Right.
But last year I had to move a piece of furniture.
Mm-hmm.
No way.
Yeah, for a client who ended up firing me. But anyway, Mary came and helped me, like, lift two pieces of furniture out of this woman's house into a car and over to a storage place.
That's awesome.
I could do that. I could do that. That's okay.
Right. Like, we had only met a handful of times at the time, and I'm like, wow. I was hoping she would help me find, like, a couple of young guys to do it that I could pay.
Yeah, right.
She's like, no, I'll help you with it. No problem.
Oh, I got it.
Right.
Yeah, but AA is so different. The AA community is so different than life, than the outside world, right? The outside world, it's all about me. And I've had more people do things for me in AA,
right,
and ask for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Miracle.
Correct. Why do you think that is, Lynn? Why do you think the AA community is so much? I think we're just kinder and gentler to each other than the other world out there.
You find the same thing, Lynn?
I totally. I've gone to people in AA that like you say, like we said, don't expect anything back. Just don't. And I think because we all have the same thing in common, the common ground, we're all learning on a daily basis how to be better people, mm-hmm. how to be better in the world, how to be nicer, how to just deal in life in a good way. So it just makes it easy. It just makes it easy to do that.
Right. And then taking the transaction off the table. I mean, everything I do in the real world seems to have a transactional value to it. Mm-hmm. I'll do this for you. You do that for me.
Mm-hmm. Scorekeeping.
Yeah. But it just, it doesn't happen in the rooms of our fellowship. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, I need a hand here. Or I need a hand here, because we both know through the process, through the project, sobriety is our number one objective, right? And yeah, we got to move the couch. So let's move it and be sober. So Lynn, back up the bus for me. How hard was it for you to walk into the rooms at 191st Street over in Mokena when we first met? I mean, you had to make the personal decision to open that door, which must have felt like it weighed 350 pounds when you tugged at it. Let's go back to that time, and how hard was it, and what have you found wasn't really that hard now that you're inside the rooms?
Well, I would say that door probably weighed 1,000 pounds. Somebody opened it for me, thank goodness. I walked in the rooms because my kids asked me to come, and I wasn't 100% sure that I belonged there.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I sat there for 11 months and ended up going back out, and then came back in. And when I came back in, I came back in with a stronger desire, knowing that I needed to be there. Mm-hmm. That's where I needed to be. The first time I sat there, I listened. I just didn't do what I should do. And now I want to be here. I want to be here. I want to get up in the morning and go to a meeting. I picked a job around my meeting last year because I don't want to give up that 7 a.m. meeting. I guess since I've been in the program and what I've learned, you know, and I say this a lot, not just to myself, but to new people. If you could just take yourself a year from now, if you follow this program and look back, you're going to be such a different person, such a better person, and you'll know that this is where you belong. I truly did not know that this is where I belonged in the beginning, and I fought it. And now, you know, life still happens, bad things still happen, but I know how to handle things on a daily basis way better. I don't have those squirrels running in my head anymore. I don't have to hide in my closet, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
It's a whole different world since I've come into AA. Better world, way better.
Wow, that's fantastic. How about Florida Karen? Same question. How hard was it for you to open up that door, go down to that church basement the first time?
It was very difficult because with me, I was tending bar at the time.
Mm.
And that's what I thought my whole life was going to be. I mean, it was big money back in the 70s. And my boss said, either you go get help or you're fired. And I said, F you, and walked out and took myself to my first rehab the next day. And I'll tell you how my journey was horrific until 99. And I remember going into my first meeting and there was so much smoke, and the two people at the front up at the head of the meeting were having a fist fight. I'm like, I'm not like these people. Yeah.
Wow. Safer in the bar.
Yeah. That was outside of Philly. And also I can say is, like I said, I've been away multiple times, multiple institutions, rehabs and all. And I mean, I needed to do that for my journey.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? The only thing that really works that I have found through all I've been through is AA.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say, never give up hope. Now, I did relapse. That was hard. after 11 and a half years. Opening that door the second time for me after all those years of being sober.
Yeah.
That was probably one of the hardest things I ever did. And I wouldn't, I'm like, life is great. I mean, there's still bad days and I'm still working, but it's great. It's better than anything. And I say to young people, it's very hard, I would think, to get sober when you're young.
Right.
But never give up hope. Never give up hope. Yep. I mean, if I can do it, anybody can do it. And it, every day can be a struggle if I let it. You know, I just have to do what I've been suggested to do.
Love these words of wisdom.
If I let it.
Love,
I like that.
Love these words of wisdom. Mary, back up the bus. First time you opened the door, how hard was it?
I think the first time I was exuberant and, you know, sort of beaten down a little bit. I think I'm one of those, I hope I can touch some people that I believe in the program. I believe in the steps. I struggle with being powerless. I'm a strong woman, you know, and I struggle with feeling powerless that anything has got the power over me. So through my journey, you know, I've had to believe and be sober mostly as I went through my journey and give up and without having thanked the Lord that I didn't have to, you know, I didn't have to hit bottom the way some of us do. You know, I hit my own type of bottom. Mm-hmm. But the way of life and the giving it up and surrendering, I mean, but it was it's been a process for me to give it up and surrender as a strong woman and to be powerless. And I still don't feel like I'm powerless because I've got this great program and these great people, and I'm very powerful.
Yeah,
so
right.
It was a process. I guess it's a little bit of a head process, and I'm a little bit of a fighter.
I love that. I love that. Karen, backing up the bus, how hard was it for you to come in? And
I got to tell you, it was easy. I was desperate. Mm. I was broken. I was beaten. I would have done absolutely anything to not live like I was living.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know what I expected. I don't know what I thought I was going to get here. But I like what Lynn said about, you know, if you could have tell a newcomer, stick 1 year and then wait till you get to look back and see the difference. The life that I live today, like my actual reality, mm-hmm. is better. Far better than the life I used to dream about having. Mm-hmm. And it's my actual everyday existence.
Right.
You know?
It's not glamour. Like, it's like, I don't know, I pay the mortgage on time.
I
used
told
to
you.
Stress about the mortgage.
My life is, I say it all the time, I live an extraordinary life made out of ordinary moments.
Right.
Like we were texting last night while we were both going to see grandkids.
Right.
And I was on a Zoom meeting. And I was holding the baby. They took the other one out, and I was watching the little one for a few hours. And I said to myself and the people on the meeting, can you believe that two actually rational, sane people left an infant in my control?
With you?
Wow. Right. Like, that doesn't happen to drunk
right.
people.
No.
You know? So, for me, it was easy to come in because I was so desperate. I had nothing else. I had nowhere else to go.
Mm-hmm.
I sound like Richard Gere, an officer and a gentleman.
Yeah.
I got nowhere else to go. I got nobody.
You can't handle the
truth. I got nothing. That's a few good men. But
whatever.
Anyway,
I love that line.
But anyway, I was out of options. So it was easy to come in. What was hard was to acknowledge that I was no longer in control.
Mm-hmm.
What
mm-hmm.
was hard was to acknowledge what I had done. Because mm-hmm. once I started to sober up and see the damage, that phrase that we talk about, the wreckage of our past,
yeah.
that still makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up. Because when I think about the damage left in my wake, that was tough for me to face, mm. to face how I was and how I behaved and how I treated people. Mm. That was the hard part. So it wasn't the coming in. It was the realization of what I had done with my life that was tough.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Powerful stuff. Mm. So our time is going by very fast here, but like mm-hmm. to go around the room and Lynn, you talked about, I love that, you know, go put yourself 12 months from now or just wait for 12 months, fine. But mm-hmm. give somebody a glimpse of what your life is now. give yourself a give people a glimpse of what your life is now and what others can have if they just take that important first step, open that door, come in. You know, what is life like now for you? You know, and not physically, it doesn't matter, you know, right, what you drive, where you live, but just your existence. I mean, I've known you now for years, and you and I were both unhappy when we came into the program compared to what we are now. And happy, I know Glenn likes to define words. We weren't at peace when we came into the program, and now we're at peace. But does that make sense, Lynn?
Yes. Mike, I'm glad you just said the word peace. Peace is how I feel on a daily basis, the serenity that I have. I did not have that at all in the beginning. I had squirrels running through my head. I was running from and hiding from everything and everybody, you know, to the point where I was at home alone drinking by myself. And now I get to get up every morning. I get to go to a 7 a.m. meeting. I get to hang out with wonderful people, wonderful ladies in the program, wonderful guys in the program that I've met also. I get to have a Super Bowl party tomorrow without drinking and have, you know, 20 people at my house. I wouldn't have done that before because I would have been hiding. So the peace, serenity that I have now, those words like ring huge in my head. That word is what like jumped out at me when you said that. Because that's how I feel on a daily basis. Total peace. Total
love
peace.
Love that. Florida Karen?
Yeah, I just want to say one thing. I remember many, many years ago in one of the rehabs, of course, they were selling shirts that said happy, joyous, and free. I thought that was so cute. Me being the people pleaser, I had to buy one for me and one for my roommate. Mm-hmm. I had no idea what it meant until now. And you know what? Like I said, every day is not a day at the beach.
No.
But every day is better than any good day I had when I was drinking. Drinking was a lot of work. It was truly a lot of work. And now today, I am normally happy. People at work respect me. Like I would have never, if you had seen what I was like, you would never imagine that would have happened. And it's a really good feeling knowing that if I just get up, hit my knees and thank God every day and do the right thing, I'm going to be okay tomorrow.
Wow.
Thanks, guys.
Good stuff. Thanks for being good here. Stuff. Mary?
I have clarity in my path forward. I have a roadmap for how to live my life. And I can... any challenge, I can sort of bounce up against my roadmap and get some direction. And that's what the program has given me.
Isn't that beautiful? And it's found in the context of 164 pages. It's not like you got to read like a stack of Harry Potter books. Mm-hmm. It's just 164 pages. Karen?
That's it. 164 pages. Mm-hmm. I love clarity in my path forward. Mm-hmm. I think I already said it, that life I live today is the beyond the life I ever dreamed of. And my life is very simple. There's a lot on my plate. I go to work every day. I'm self-employed. My husband owns a business. We just launched a new business a month ago. I have a child now. I didn't have children when I was drinking, and I couldn't. And I was able to adopt and then get her through college, watch her get married, become a parent.
All sober.
I get to be a grandma.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just so much. There's so much good. I think for me, the biggest part, the best part of sobriety are the relationships. Not just the relationships in the program, but like my marriage, my relationship with my parents, my relationship with my friends, my relationship with my siblings. Like the relationships are so much better because they're pure. I don't want anything from you. I'm not your friend for what
there's
you
no
can.
Angle.
I'm not your friend for what you can do for me. You know, and that I think that makes the other thing is that I am 100% free. I have nothing to hide from anybody. Yeah. You know, that's an amazing paradox to the way I used to live because I hid everything from everyone. And today I don't have to hide anything. You know, like If the bill isn't paid, and my husband says, "Why isn't this bill paid?" I say, "Because we didn't have enough money this month."
That's right.
Like, there's no, There's no like, I got to find this. I got to do this. That's I can't right. let them know I didn't pay the bill. Right. Because you know what? It's not that I didn't pay the bill because I was drinking or drugging.
That's right.
It was because we had a little more, what do they say? A little more month than money or
yeah,
something.
A little more month than money.
Whatever. Right. But like things like that. I don't have to hide that stuff. I don't have to hide anything anymore. And that is a peaceful, free, amazing way to live.
Love these words. Glenn, I think we should start a women's meeting.
Well, first of all, the first comment that I want to make is I have never seen Danny G quiet for so long. I think the secret is you get four phenomenal quality
four
women
phenomenal
in the room.
Phenomenal women, yes.
And it just shuts him.
Taking it all in.
Never take on the girl
Danny
tribe.
Danny G found his match.
Man, I got a page and a half of notes. I mean, you guys, really good content. I mean, really drove it home. I hope that listeners that are on kind of on the fence and saying, yeah, AA is a bunch of old guys. They're right. I am. I'm old. I'm stodgy. But
can't wait to find a women's meeting.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, there's hope for them. And you know, there's on our website, we've got the AA meeting finder. You know, there's a million meetings. Try one. And if the first one you go to isn't working for you, try another one. I mean, mm-hmm. You'll go to a restaurant two times in a row. Come on now, people. Give them a second chance, right?
Mm-hmm. Amen, man. That's great. All right.
Ladies, thank you so much.
Thank you, ladies.
Bye, yeah. Girl Tribe.
Lynn, we'll do, Karen,
do
Mary,
this again.
Karen.
Thank
Bye,
you.
Mary.
So nice to meet you, gentlemen.
Bye, Karen. Thank you.
Thanks, ladies.
Bye, yeah, guys. Bye, Danny Lynn. G.
Bye.
Thank you, Danny G.
Huh?
Thank you, Danny
Thanks,
G.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks for sharing, Dan.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for today's Coffee Chat. To contact the show, email us at podcast@sober.coffee. If you need immediate help, the AA hotline is 800-839-1686. The National Suicide Prevention Hotline is 800-273-8255. Remember, Mike and Glenn are sharing their own journey on the path to recovery. Any suggestions, medical or otherwise, are their own experiences and should not be viewed as professional advice. See you next week, and remember, there is a solution.